Your friend wants to learn about your favorite band. They'd never ever heard of them before. You want to show what the band is all about, so you put together a playlist. But there is a catch. You only get to play
five essential tracks.
I'm Ben.
I'm Joel.
I'm Josh.
I'm Jacob, and these are the five essential tracks for James Taylor.
Welcome back to Five Essential Tracks. Today, we're going to talk about James Taylor. And remember, as we go around the table and try to determine the five most representative tracks, a green light means the song's automatically in, a yellow light means more discussion is needed, and a red light means it's done. No more consideration for that. So it will be, as I said, James Taylor, and I'm here with my usual co-hosts. Hi, Ben.
Good day, mates.
Hi, Jacob.
Hello there.
And hi, Joel.
Hey.
So, James Taylor. Most everybody is familiar with James Taylor and his generally acoustic style. At least that's what he's most well known for, and his wonderful singing voice. And he's been doing it for close to 60 years. A lot of people don't really know about his start, but it was an instrumental meeting when he met Danny Kortchmar, who has continued to play, and as far as I know, still does to this day, with James Taylor. But his real break actually came not here in the U.S., but across the pond. And it was Peter Asher of Peter and Gordon who took his demo tape to John Lennon and Paul McCartney, and he was quickly signed to Apple. And there's even some Beatles that appear on his debut album, which is really a lot different from his other albums in many ways. But we can talk more about that a little bit later. Ultimately, he ends up in L.A., and Peter Asher becomes his manager, along with Linda Ronstadt. And the songs that so many people know are cut out there. And one of the greatest selling artists of all times, you might be surprised to know, over 100 million records have been sold by James Taylor. So we want to see if we can determine what we think are the five essential tracks. And Ben will kick us off with his first suggestion.
Well, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I'm going to get straight to what I think is a layup, and that's the second single off of his second album, Sweet Baby James, Fire and Rain. August of 70, it was released. An immediate hit. It peaked at number two on the top single charts. Number three on the Billboard Hot 100 and top single charts. I think this song is known by even the most casual of fans, and it's been covered repeatedly. It's about James' struggles with addiction. I think it's as close to a green light smash we can come up with. So obviously my green light, because I put it forward.
Well, I agree, and that is the first song that I thought of when we're talking about James Taylor. And as far as it goes, we do reference Spotify a lot. James Taylor has 5.6 million monthly listeners, and then Fire and Rain is by far the most streamed, with 273 or so million streams. And so I think this is, an absolute easy layup. It's a green light for me as well.
I've got nothing to add or take away. It's green light for me.
Also, the first song that I wrote down and went ahead and immediately put a check mark next to it because I knew it had to be there. I think of Fire and Rain. If people don't know the backstory, when you hear James Taylor and when you see James Taylor, he doesn't exactly strike you as the heroin type. But as he said in his time in New York, I learned a lot about music and a whole lot more about drugs. And that really is chronicling that that time frame. And of course, the other thing that makes me think of is in the Simpsons episode when Homer becomes an astronaut and James Taylor sings Fire and Rain, Sweet Dreams and Flying Machines and Pieces on the Flying Safely Through the Air. So pop culture, yes. Too. It's got it all. Fire and Rain is our first song. All right, Jacob.
Well, for me, that was the first one I thought of, was Fire and Rain, like I said. And then the second one I thought of is a song that was also, well, it's a song that was made very much popular by two different artists. One, the well-known guitar player. The other one, the well-known piano player from 1971, You've Got a Friend, which, as I said, was a cover originally written and recorded by Carole King. And it's just another one that a lot of people are likely to know. They're certainly going to know the song, I feel like, whether it's from James Taylor or Carole King. But I think it's one that deserves a mention on this list.
Yeah, and I should note that Carole King played piano on Fire and Rain, and You've Got a Friend was sort of a response to the line in that song that I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sort of a neat antidote.
And it's important to note also that You've Got a Friend is his only number one hit on the Hot 100.
Yes.
Spent just 1 week there, but it was a number one hit. I'll go ahead and green light it. I know he didn't write it, but I think it's quintessential James Taylor. And I like that you mentioned all those Carole King references in both the songs we've had now. So I'm going to green light it as well.
My initial inclination was actually to yellow light You've Got a Friend due to the fact that he didn't write it and due to a certain amount of similarity with Fire and Rain that I hear. But actually, both Ben's anecdote, I did not realize that was a direct response. That's good information. And Joel reminding us that it's his only number one song. I'm going to go ahead and green light it as well.
And just one other thing I'll add about this song. It was his first Grammy. So I think with all of the things that we've said put together, we're going to have to lock this one in as number two on our green light list.
All right. So we have Fire and Rain and You've Got a Friend, early period James Taylor songs, and both, I think, deserving and no controversy so far. So let's see what Joel has.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned on that last song, because I originally had the same inclination to yellow light it, You've Got a Friend, just because he didn't write it. Obviously, his songwriting is part of what makes James Taylor so great. So I do think it does need to be on there, so I'm glad that it got through. But I had the same thought. So for my pick, I imagine it might start getting a little bit more difficult at this point. But I'm going to go with his longest charting song and a personal favorite song of mine, 1977's Handyman. Spent 20 weeks on the chart. It's his longest charting song. It peaked at number 4 on the Hot 100, so it's a top 5 hit. Spent 20 weeks there, and that's going to be my offering for selection number 3.
Was Handyman on the JT album?
It was.
Man, that's a really great album. That might be his best album.
And it's hard to say. Might argue there's another song on there that's more deserving than Handyman. But
I might. This is tough. I didn't even write down You've Got a Friend because it was a cover and I was thinking of him as a writer. And, you know, and I was persuaded there. This one, yes, his version is the most well known, but I can't not hear the original.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you preferred it.
Josh, that's interesting. I had the opposite. I thought of You've Got a Friend, but I didn't think of this song at all, Handyman. It didn't even enter my mind, actually.
I'm gonna yellow Handyman for the sake of diversity and further discussion, I think. But you give a compelling argument.
Well, like you said, it's a cover, just like You've Got a Friend. So let's get the covers out of the way, figure out. I imagine probably not take two covers, but it was his longest charting song, was a top 5 hit. Also had a little controversy with Culture Club. If you remember that.
No.
Well, they, I'm sure you are quite aware of Karma, 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 Karma Chameleon.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But there was a little bit of controversy with Karma, 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 comma, come, come.
That's interesting.
That was an accusation that went nowhere from what I understand. But
well, how are you going to copyright that or something? I mean,
yeah, well, the stuff that's been argued in court lately over music, I mean, anything could go, honestly.
No kidding.
Yeah. You know, I just realized, I didn't realize this before. That song was actually a hit for Del Shannon as well in 1964.
Originally written by Jimmy Jones and Otis Blackwell, but yeah, Del Shannon has is the B-side of "Give Her Lots of Love" from 1964.
Interesting. Yeah, I for all the reasons that Josh gave, I'm also going to yellow light it. It's not his song, but it's, you know, the best version of the song. It's certainly the most mellow of the versions that I've heard.
Yes.
but I'll give it a yellow light because I think it'll end up as an alternate.
Okay, so Jacob, did you give your light?
Well, I'll just echo you and yellow light it.
Okay, so I will go ahead and mention the other song on JT that I know that Joel was referring to. Before I do, I'll give a nod and a wink to "Honey Don't Leave L.A." because I really like "Honey Don't Leave L.A." from that album, but the song, of course, that Joel was referring to is "Your Smiling Face," and this is a song that he wrote when his relationship with Carly Simon was early on. Shout out to Lee Andrews, and it was described as a pop sonnet. It is unabashedly happy, as they say, and it was the follow-up single to "Handyman," and it's one of those things that he does a lot. I think it's a very representative song because it has the descending, you know, guitar part that he plays a lot and then changes to different keys. And it's ridiculously difficult to change those keys, I think, and play that same descending run. It's wonderful. It's a great, great song. And I think one that probably should be on the list.
I think it's a really strong track from that album. And I agree with you, Josh. It's a very good album. I'm content to yellow light it myself to see what else might come up. But, you know, it's a departure. I guess if you look at James Taylor overall, you think of folk, you think of acoustic guitar, finger picking, songwriting. But then you have this, which is very different. I'm not saying he only did, you know, I wouldn't say he only did solo acoustic stuff anyway. But
no.
Certainly amongst the songs we've talked about up to now, it's very different.
Well, and it's worth pointing out that this album is a really good example of a more diverse set of songs that are not predominantly folky and acoustically driven. I mentioned "Honey, Don't Leave L.A." You got "Traffic Jam," which is very different from anything else. You got "Bartender's Blues."
Love that one.
Also, you know, so there's... like all of those, it's very, very different, but this one's my favorite. Ben, what do you think?
I'm going to green light it because I had it in my top five and I'm going to stick with that. Now, my anecdote concerning this song, I don't know if it's the first time I heard it, but it was definitely one of the first times. James Taylor was on Sesame Street, but he didn't have the same lyrics. He had "Whenever I See Your Grouchy Face" to Oscar the Grouch. Who's reaching all ages?
I totally forgot about that. Did he say he had to grouch himself? Yeah. I don't know. I think Oscar the Grouch is in a pretty good mood considering he lives in a trash can.
Yeah, he's doing his best. And we all have our own battles.
Yeah. Yes, and then JT bought some smack off of him. And no, I'm sorry.
No, that was Mr. Hooper.
No wonder Big Bird was seeing a snuffleupagus. Okay, off course. All right, you got a yes. Joel, what about you?
So, yeah, "Your Smiling Face" also off JT. His kind of funny. His second longest charting song peaked at number 20. It was a great follow-up. I'm going to green light it as well. I actually had "Handyman" and "Your Smiling Face" both on my top five, obviously. So I'll go ahead and green "Your Smiling Face." So it's a yellow from just Jacob on that one.
Okay. And okay, Ben, next suggestion.
All right, I'm going to throw out one that was very, very close to the first song that I proposed, and that's the title track off his second album, Sweet Baby James. He refers to it as his sort of self-lullaby, because singing works just fine for him. I think this is the first song I think of when I think of James Taylor, just because his name is in the title.
Yeah.
And it's a song that I frequently get in my head, and the melody just kind of goes in a loop and I end up singing it for days. It's also a song that I frequently play on the guitar when I pick it up, just because the muscle memory of my fingers, I think it was one of the first songs I learned. So I go back to it often, but for all those reasons and more, that's my second proposal for our top five.
Oh boy. This is very, very difficult. I love Sweet Baby James. I love that it's a waltz. Something that happens less frequently than you would imagine in pop music. And you usually get fours and twos. You don't get threes very often. And you've got a campfire waltz here with a nice sing-along chorus. And for all the things that you said, my problem here, excluding Fire and Rain, which was immediate, is I had two possible other songs from the Sweet Baby James album.
Pretty good album.
That's a tough one for me. I'm gonna yellow just for the time being, but I have a feeling that I'm easily going to be changed if everybody else greens. Jacob?
I'm just going to echo what you said. I'm going to yellow light that. There are two other songs. They're not from this album, but there are two other songs that haven't been mentioned yet, and three, maybe, that deserve mention. But anyway, I'm content to yellow light this one as well. But I do want to mention, again, as I've said in previous episodes, that all of these that we suggest are going to be in the Spotify playlist accompanying this episode.
Joel?
I mean, it starts to get real difficult, obviously. I'm going to greenlight Sweet Baby James, which means I've technically greenlit five songs here. But we'll see how it goes. But ends up being more challenging than you think it will, doesn't it?
Discussed the possibility of three different artists we might talk about that I had kind of prepared for. And actually I wrote down fewer James Taylor songs than the other artists, but I couldn't decide on the five from the ones that I wrote down. You know, and there weren't 20 candidates for me. I think there were about 10, but I kind of started throwing my hands up. Jacob, give us another one.
Well, another one I think deserves a mention is very good example of James Taylor's songwriting, and this is something from his first album from 1968, written while he was across the ocean in England, homesick, Carolina in My Mind. And the version that we all know actually was re-recorded for his greatest hits, or the version that most people know, which is more sparse compared to
and slower.
Some Beatley stuff going on in the 1968 version.
Is that version on Spotify?
Yes, it is on Spotify.
So when you make a playlist,
I'm
going to
put both versions on there. You know, I love the imagery in the song. You can tell he stormy and rainy London, right? Overcast. And he's talking about, you know, can't you feel the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Of course, he mentions the holy host of others standing around him. The Beatles, you know, the holy host of others standing around him, and still he's on the dark side of the moon.
Great line. And yes, mm-hmm. A direct reference to the Beatles. Paul McCartney's playing bass on this track, and uncredited George is playing guitar.
Yes, on the original.
The holy host was recording the White Album at the time, so they probably weren't all standing around him at the same time.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I guess it's my vote here. I'm going to yellow light Caroline in my mind. If we're talking about songs about locales, there's another one I'll put above this one in my own personal five, but I might be persuaded.
Me too. So,
we're going to talk about a bit south of location. Carolina. Yeah, a bit south. Same continent, but further south. So I'm going to go in yellow Caroline in my mind, although I will acknowledge that it is a fantastic song. And I love the Beatles references and the Beatles connection there.
There's, I'm going to end up with something not on our final list that I'm going to wish that I could fight for, but I can't because I'm going to use up my greens. I green light Carolina in my mind.
So where are we at right now then?
Ben's voting.
Yeah, I'm going green light. For
just me.
All the reasons that we mentioned. It's one of the songs I think of right away when I think of James Taylor, and that's what we're doing here. So I'm definitely going to put a green on it.
I'm sorry. What I meant to say was that we currently have two green lit at the moment.
Yes, we have Fire and Rain and You've Got a Friend, but we've got two songs that only have a lone holdout, and that's Your Smiling Face and Carolina in My Mind. So Joel, are you going to give us another location song here?
Well, I'm torn.
No, that was Natalie Imbruglia. Yeah.
What I'm struggling with is realizing the fact that some of his biggest hits are covers.
And that's okay.
It's okay. You know. I mean, there's another cover that has to be mentioned. Will it make the list? I don't know. We've already got a cover. Should we only take one cover? I mean, I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there just because it has to be on the list. A top five hit, 15 weeks, 1975's How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. I think of that song almost instantaneously when I think of James Taylor, but it's not his song. So do we take more than one cover? What do we do?
Personally, I'm not so hung up on, you know, if we pick two covers, we pick two covers, you know, or if we don't, we don't. Because we're talking about an artist's ability to write songs or interpret other people's songs, you know, what he does his own thing. And so it's certainly a cover could be worthy.
Well, kind of reminds me of Johnny Cash. You know? We had similar conversations with Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Albeit in a different genre.
And, you know, Johnny Cash is not known to be a songwriter.
Right.
Quite as much as James Taylor. Right. I don't guess, but. Anyway, it's just what we choose, you know.
Is there a similarity? Because I felt like there was when I was writing this down. I certainly wrote down How Sweet It Is. Is there a similarity between it and Your Smiling Face? Like, are they too similar to both be on the list? Should it be one or the other? Or am I way off base on that?
No, that's fair, I think.
It's reasonable. I mean, How Sweet It Is was a larger charting success, and I think was a bigger song overall. But either one, I could be whatever we feel like is best. I'm not going to be upset with either one. I mean, Your Smiling Face I greenlit already, so the only one who yellow lit Your Smiling Face was Jacob.
Ben, so what were you about to say?
Well, I'm going to do something controversial, and I'm going to red light this song.
Whoa. And,
okay.
And that's because it's not even the best version of this song. When you're hitting behind Marvin Gaye, you're going to have a tall task to make it onto a list of top five songs that you've done. So that's
the man has spoken.
Well, that's fair.
I'm going to publicly go on record and disagree with you and say that I think this is the version of this song, in my opinion.
You're allowed to have a wrong opinion. That's fine.
Okay. So that means I'm going to have to select. I literally have three more that I wanted to suggest. And we're getting to the point where we're going to have to make a decision. We are only allowing ourselves a maximum, I think, of three times around the table. And we're wanting to try to do it in two. But
I think we need three goes around with this one.
Yeah, I think we do too. I'm going to go with the opening track from 1976's In the Pocket. And that would be your number 22 Hot 100 hit, Shower the People. Carly Simon sings on it, got Danny Kortchmar, and a couple of people that we've mentioned a lot in our other podcasts, somebody else's favorite songs, is Leland Sklar and Russ Kunkel, who are on virtually every song we've
They're
talked
all
about.
All over this stuff.
Beg pardon?
Also has Shower the People has Victor Feldman, who plays the vibraphone and is always the guy playing the vibraphone. It's really a who's who of LA musicians, and
but that's how it goes in this era music we're talking about.
So I'll put out Shower the People and see what y'all think. Ben,
I'm gonna yellow light it because I've got another song off this album that I think I'm going to put forward. Again, this wasn't on my top five when I was coming up with my list, and I'm going to stick to my guns and keep the five I had and hope I can convince you as well.
All right, Jacob.
I'm just going to echo what Ben said. It's a yellow light. It's not one that it was not something I thought of originally.
I love Shower the People. I think it's a great song. I certainly think about it when I think about James Taylor. Was a charting success. I don't think just because of the two yells prior to me that it's going to make the list. I'm glad it's going to be on the playlist, but I'll just go ahead and yellow it too, although I will say it's a fantastic song. But we'll yellow all around on Shower the People.
Okay. So, yeah, I would just like to do a shout out on Shower the People to the diminished chord that comes around, which is a favorite trick of mine for those of you who are into that sort of thing. When is he sings, things are going to work out fine if you only will.
Yeah.
You feel it kind of step up there into that diminished chord.
That's great.
A neat very trick that he uses.
Chromaticism, you know, a bridge to the next chord.
Yes.
That is a James Taylor thing. Certainly.
Yes. Whether it's with the descending we talked about earlier or something like this, it's very representative. So, okay. We have one more time around the table to recap. We've got Fire and Rain and You've Got a Friend and a couple of near misses and one shocking red light. Gas. Audible gas. All right, Ben.
Well, I think I mentioned when Joel, when you brought up How Sweet It Is, there was another song on that album that I preferred, and that's the first track off of Gorilla, Mexico.
The locale song.
Good. Although, I'm glad you're getting to it.
Although if it's Mexico, perhaps the album is called Gorilla.
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 Hey, Gorilla.
It's not one of his most streamed songs, and it's not one of his most played songs, but I feel like it's another really catchy tune. I get it in my head all the time. You know, he's got a lot of melodies that tend to get in your head and stay there, but this is certainly one of them for me.
I thought of this song just because I love the guitar playing on this song.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult in a sneaky way. There's lots of syncopation between when he's doing the finger picking between the bass notes and the treble notes. And then you have the sort of the chorus or refrain. It's catchy.
And modulates up a full step for that refrain each time.
Yes.
It's abrupt. It's that it goes from what, E major to
F sharp.
It's a really interesting composition.
It's musically interesting. And, you know, I have never been one to necessarily stick to what's charting, you know, how high it charted or the most streams on Spotify, because there are some gems out there that people don't know about as much, which could still fit with our theme of you know, this person doesn't know anything about James Taylor. How can we introduce him? And
absolutely.
So Mexico is a great example of let's introduce James Taylor, the musician here.
Absolutely.
And I think it's an awesome song.
So is that a green light from you?
Absolutely. It's an emphatic green light on this one.
Fantastic. Joel?
Well, like I said, when we mentioned Caroline in my mind, I was inclined to include only one locale song, and this is the one that I wanted to do. I'm a sucker for any song with steel drums and vibraphones. It's a green light for me.
Guess what, guys? I know it doesn't matter when Mexico is your favorite James Taylor song. It is my favorite James Taylor song, but much about what Jacob said. Look, this is a podcast. This is not open up a book and tell me the five biggest hits.
Yes, that's exactly.
That's only part of it. And here you've got, we talked about the changes. And again, that work up to the chord, you know, when it goes back to the verse, he goes back down to E. And very much like Penny Lane changes from verse to chorus, the key's constantly changing. He does the same thing here, but he does that run up to get back down to E. Do, 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 you know?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's great. And the one thing we haven't mentioned is the great backing vocals from Graham Nash and David Crosby.
Yes. I forgot to mention that.
It's fantastic. And it is my favorite. And even though that doesn't matter, I am thrilled to say our third selection is Mexico.
All right.
All right. Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. I'm wondering if the other two songs are already on the list. Do you have another one to put forward, Jacob?
I do.
Okay.
And this would be another early song and another, well, looking back at it, you might take it as a Beatles reference. Something in the way she moves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you know, we need a romantic love song on this list. And I think, well, not that we need that. I'm saying that that's another aspect that we might be missing. And it's actually, according to James Taylor talking to the audience on stage in 2017, this is the song he played for Paul McCartney and George Harrison as an audition.
Which George signing for immediately stole from.
Yes. Yeah. But James Taylor also said, well, you know, I kind of lifted, I feel fine. But, you know, they're just words, but at the end. But I think it's a beautiful song and it deserves to be mentioned. I'm glad that Ben mentioned Mexico. I knew it was going to get mentioned when Joel was talking about locales. So I was safe to mention this one as well for consideration.
It's a great song. I'm going to yellow light it. And I'll just leave it at that, let it go around and see what everybody else has to say.
I thought of it and moved on from it. I'm going to yellow light it.
I'm going to green light it, even though it just seems like a pointless exercise with two yellows. And I feel like the other two have already been, had already been mentioned. I think we're going to be picking
your
from that
opinion
field,
is still important.
Yeah. Well, thank you for validating me, Joel.
Yes.
I know you needed that.
He did need that. He of the seven green lights so far in this episode of Seven Essential Tracks.
We are having an accompanying podcast where we mention our other two essential songs, right?
Two additional essential tracks.
One critic said that this song sort of highlighted him as a male Joni Mitchell, which I thought was an interesting take. Because it does kind of sound like a Joni Mitchell song.
Oh, you're right about that. That's very interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But we move
along.
There's
no falsetto in it, but.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Something in the way she moves.
All right, Joel, do you have another one to add for consideration?
You know, I do. You've inspired me with your talk of, well, you know, doesn't really matter what's streamed the most, what's on the chart the most. When you're talking about essential tracks, those are factors, but they're just that, factors. So I'm going to put forth my personal favorite James Taylor song, one that I think is a lyrical masterpiece, a very emotional song. It was a song written perhaps about his father, Ike. That's the song Walking Man. And if you've never read the lyrics to Walking Man, it's quite powerful in its ability to evoke emotion and feeling. So Walking Man is what I'm going to put on. I I think it's one of his best works. I wasn't originally going to mention it, but after hearing what y'all have said, I was inspired to go ahead and throw it out there for my last pick.
It wasn't on my final five, but I actually did have Walking Man on my list. It's great.
It's my favorite.
It's great, and I'm kind of tempted to go and see my Bessie again. I'm kind of tempted to green light it, but I don't want to get over into seven green light territory with Ben over there. you know what? I would actually green light Walking Man. I think it's fantastic. So
a song about a
green, I would green that
emotionally distant father. It's powerful.
I'm gonna yellow light it. I feel like I've yellowed all of Joel's songs. I've either yellow or red everything he's
proposed. What do you have against me? What is your vendetta against my selections?
The reason that I'm yellowing it is because if I'm picking five songs to explain James Taylor to someone, I don't think that would be one of the five I would pick, even though I do love that song. It's such a good song.
That's fair.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. Go along with Ben on that.
Okay, so this is the last opportunity we have for a submission. And okay, I know the one I'm going to suggest. I'm going to honorable mention for this list two others of my favorites. A later period track, which sounds stupid to say because it came out 32 years ago, but Copperline should be mentioned. Copperline is great.
That's a good one.
That needs to be on the list. And I'm a huge fan of Her Town 2. I mean, it doesn't get any more soft rock than Her Town 2, but man, that's a great tune.
Yeah.
The final song that I'm going to put up is another song from Sweet Baby James that absolutely at least has to be on a consideration list, and that's Country Road.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
I think that if there was another legitimate submission for this list, it would be this one.
I feel like that's the only thing that really has to be mentioned that we haven't.
Can I just say I'm glad that nobody threw out Mockingbird, because I was going to red light that so fast and make your head spin. So good for us for not including the top five hit Mockingbird.
you know what my favorite version of Mockingbird is?
I guarantee you it's Dumb and Dumber.
It is. They pick up all the migrant workers. Mock. See. See.
I'm gonna yellow Country Road. I think some other ones are better fits, although I love Country Road. I also want an honorable mention. Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight is another song we didn't talk about. That.
Yeah,
I didn't mention
that
as well. So I'll just yellow it and I'll pass it around, and we can argue about the last, what is it, the last two?
So that's a yellow. I'm assuming the other fellas would probably yellow that too.
Yeah, that's a yellow from me.
Yes.
Okay. let's do a quick look back at what is close. Your Smiling Face was yellowed only by Jacob. Carolina in My Mind was yellowed only by Joel. And those are the two closest.
Let's do it. Let's put those two in.
No. It's going to be hard to persuade me to drop my yellow from Carolina in My Mind.
Okay, let's start with Your Smiling Face. Can we get a...
You have the authority to allow that one in, Jacob. You were the only yellow.
Well, I guess what were these two songs? We've yellowed each other's, hadn't we?
We have, haven't we?
Well, let's just do a deal.
Well, I put forward Your Smiling Face.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I thought Joel did. Sorry.
No, that was mine.
No, you're right. I did Handyman prior to Your Smiling Face.
Do we have... So I guess we have those two songs that are lacking one person, and then the rest of them are yellow lit by more than one, I suppose.
We have two yellows.
And that's Sweet Baby James.
Sweet Baby James and Walking
something.
Man.
And something in the way she moves.
Oh, you're right. And Walking Man. So there's three two yellows.
Hmm.
So... let's go back. Looking at Fire and Rain, You've Got a Friend in Mexico is what we've greenlit. And so I am okay. I think looking at what three we have and what's left on the table, I'm okay with your smiling face, you know, for diversity's sake. So
okay.
Let's do it. I'll make it a green light.
So we now have four, Fire and Rain, You've Got a Friend, Mexico, and Your Smiling Face. That gets us right down to the wire here. We got to get one more in here. And the candidates that we have are Handyman, Sweet Baby James, Shower of the People, Carolina in My Mind, Something in the Way She Moves, Walking Man, and Country Road. I think I will, especially because I mentioned both of them, I mentioned both Shower of the People and Country Road, and those did not get any other green lights. So I'm okay with eliminating those from contention.
So are you just going to red light them for the sake of consolidation? Is that what I'm hearing?
It doesn't really matter. It's a stop sign. It's not a red light. It's a stop sign. It's a yield sign.
It's a yield at worst.
Oh, we introduced another element to this.
Looking at the list, I can see how Carolina in My Mind could be an appropriate fifth song. If we're out pretty firm on Walking Man, I'm okay with Carolina in My Mind being on there. I think that's probably the best song on the list, the more I think about it. So do you guys all agree with that?
We did. Yay!
Yes.
Okay, I'll green light Carolina in My Mind, and we'll have our five.
All right,
well,
folks,
that's quite nice.
There's your five essential tracks from James Taylor, Fire and Rain, You've Got a Friend, Your Smiling Face, Carolina in My Mind, and all our favorite, Mexico.
Yes.
It's not a bad list. It's a good list.
We have 15 tracks in the Spotify playlist, so there's a lot that was considered or mentioned as honorable mention. But of course, the top five, we have our essentials. I think it's quite a good list.
Yeah, fantastic.
Were there any overlooked that you wanted to mention, Ben, or to make the list?
No, all the songs that I wrote down we've mentioned. So I'm happy with our decisions. I think it's the right five.
All right. Fantastic. Well, that means we have given you another artist. Let us know. What did we really whiff on and what did we get right? Give us your five. Give us your response. Post on Facebook or Instagram. Send us an email, whatever that may be. But whatever you do, join us next time when we'll have another artist to be profiled on Five Essential Tracks.